Good evening and welcome once again. Shall we turn, please, to the Old Testament, to the book of Isaiah, as Wayne said, this is our last gospel meeting with you, but it's always a real joy and privilege to preach the gospel. I've been doing this for many, many years, and one never gets used to it because of the burden for souls. Trust tonight that God will speak. Isaiah chapter 38, 3-8. In those days was Hezekiah sick unto death, and Isaiah the prophet, the son of Amoz, came unto him and said unto him, Thus said the Lord, Set thine house in order, for thou shalt die and not live. Down, please, to verse 12. Mine age is departed and is removed from me as a shepherd's tent. I have cut off like a weaver my life. He will cut me off with pining sickness. From day even to night wilt thou make an end of me. I reckon to morning that as a lion, so will he break all my bones. From day even to night wilt thou make an end of me. Like a crane or a swallow, so did I chatter. I did mourn as a dove. Mine eyes fail with looking upward. O Lord, I am oppressed. Undertake for me. Verse 18, For the grave cannot praise thee, death cannot celebrate thee. They that go down into the pit cannot hope for thy truth. The living, he shall praise thee as I do this day. The father of the children shall make known thy truth. The Lord was ready to save me. Therefore we'll sing my song in the string instrument all the days of our life in the house of the Lord. Once again, the Lord will bless his precious word. I want to talk to you this evening on a most unpalatable subject, death. The wise woman of Tekoa says we must all needs die. It is appointed unto men once to die. But after this, the judgment. An old soldier was confronted with the reality. And this is what he said. I am not afraid to die. I faced death many times on a battlefield. But what I'm afraid of is after death. It is appointed unto men once to die. But after this, the judgment. First of all, tonight we will look at the appointment. Then secondly, the application. Thirdly, the appraisal. Fourthly, the appeal. And finally, the answer. The appointment. It is appointed unto men once to die. God said to Adam in the Garden of Eden, The day thou eatest thereof, thou shalt surely die. Now he did not die that day physically, but he died spiritually. And death is separation. And the moment he partook of that tree, there was a separation between him and God. Then came the day when he died physically. But then the Bible speaks of another death, the second death, which is eternal separation from God and from loved ones for all eternity. Death and hell were cast into the lake of fire, says John in the Revelation. This is the second death. It's a sad day when our loved ones die. and we're separated from them for a season if they're Christians. But oh, the tragedy when it is separation for eternity. And death, we find the cause of it is S-I-N, sin. By one man, sin entered into the world, and death by sin. For death has passed upon all men, for all have sinned. The first man, Adam, we find him in a garden, and the last man in the book of Genesis, we find him in a coffin, because of sin. That's the cause of separation, sin. But we have the call of death. Now you might break an appointment with a doctor. You might break an appointment with a dentist. But you cannot break an appointment with death. The day is already fixed on God's calendar. It is appointed unto men once to die. Over in England, there's a sundial. And on that sundial are written 22 words that covers the entire span of life. And this is what it says. Tender teens. Teachable 20s. Thrilling 30s. Fiery 40s. Forceful 50s. Serious 60s, solemn 70s, aching 80s, death, the sod, God, eternity. That covers every range of age group in our gathering tonight. Yes, there is an appointment. It doesn't really matter, friend, in the final analysis, where we die, or when we die, but the reality is how we die. We either die in Christ, or out of Christ. So tonight, the subject is an emotional one, and after that singing, there is emotion in our hearts, and the reality that one day we will all die, unless Jesus comes for his beloved people. There's the appointment. Death is no respecter of persons. I was conducting children's meetings back in my home assembly in Massachusetts. Little lad, 7 years old, his name was John Lovejoy. And I was giving out candy bars to those who answer questions. And he didn't answer any question, and he came up to me and he said, "I didn't get a candy bar, Uncle Neil." Well, I said, "Son, you didn't answer any questions." Well, I slipped him a candy bar anyway, and out we went. Next day he was killed by a bulldozer. As I looked in that coffin, that little white coffin, I was thankful I gave him a candy bar. Death is a monster. And it moves into every age group, the young and the old. The important thing, friend, is to be prepared to meet God. The appointment. You've read this evening of the application. As the shepherd's tent in verse 14. The shepherd's tent, of course, is very impressive in the East because he can be here today and gone tomorrow. They move with the flock. And that's exactly just how you and I face reality. We're here today. And may be gone tomorrow. Man that is born of a woman is but a few days and full of trouble. He cometh forth as a flower and is cut down. He fleeth like a shadow and continueth not. My friend, our life is like a vapor that appears for a little and then vanishes away. We're here today and may be gone tomorrow. Those folks that left San Francisco for Miami in the train, the Amtrak train, I'm sure had they known what their reality would be, that they would go into the swamp of crocodiles, the bridge collapsing, they would never have got on the train. But the thing is this, we always think that it's not going to happen to us, it will happen to someone else. That's the anesthesia injected by Satan. And tonight Satan would say to you, oh yes, by all means get saved. Oh yeah, you get saved. But not tonight. And the next day, oh yes, get saved. But not tonight. Until one reaches that point in age when the Lord says, today, if you hear his voice, harden not your heart. Nothing more pliable than a young heart to respond to the gospel. When people get old and the heart becomes harder, it's more difficult to accept the Lord Jesus. There are more people come in by the east gate into the holy city, the rising of the sun, than by the west gate, the setting of the sun. More children get saved than old people because their hearts are pliable. They are soft in the presence of a loving God. Yes, like the shepherd's tent, here today and gone tomorrow. Notice the second application as a web of cloth. A web of cloth. Like a weaver's life, he will cut me off with pain and sickness, just like a weaver's cloth. I had a brother-in-law who was a weaver, an expert weaver in a carpet factory back in Scotland, who used to watch the operation, and finally, when the carpet was complete, they would take a pair of scissors and cut the end off at the thumb. That's just exactly like death cut off. The third illustration, from day to night. We read those words this evening, from day even to night. No twilight, as soon as the sun in that golden ball hits the horizon in the east, darkness comes down, there's no twilight. That's another application given by the Holy Spirit here, how quick it is to leave this planet Earth and be gone forever. And the fourth illustration, as a lion, so will he break all my bones. The lion, the king of beasts. And there's absolutely no mercy when a lion moves in on its prey. And there's no mercy with death. It takes the young as well as the old. We were preaching in Flint, Michigan, the home assembly of our brother Bill Hines. A lovely lady got broken down under the gospel. She took a little girl, 5 years of age. Her name was Kim. into the room and with the joy of pointing that mother to the Lord Jesus. Little Kim turned to her mom and said, "Mommy, now you're saved just like me." A few months later, she went to Detroit to be fitted for a wedding dress, to be a flower girl in a wedding, and she got killed in a car accident. We came back for gospel meeting, married mom and dad in the foyer. They wept, we wept. And Dad Don Benema prevailed. He says, "God took our little girl for a purpose." 15 souls came to Christ, including the grandparents, a Vietnam veteran, and several others in the family. He was right. God took our little girl for a purpose. Death is a monster, and it comes in and breaks hearts as it takes away loved ones from us. Just like a lion, death has no mercy. Many years ago, a young athlete by the name of Hank Gaither, an outstanding college basketball player. The Time magazine said he was a tremendous hope. He had a tremendous future in the National Basketball Association as a player. He himself says, "I'm the strongest man alive." That night he dropped down dead. Playing basketball. Our Boston papers had stretched across it not too long ago. Reggie Lewis, who played for the Boston Celtics. Tremendous humanitarian. Gave turkeys away to the poor people at Christmas time. This boy was upright. He dropped on the basketball court one day, went to the Brigham and Women's Hospital, then doctor surveyed him and said, "Reggie, you can't play again." He went to another doctor for a second opinion. He said, "You'll be all right." Just a few weeks ago, he dropped down dead on the basketball court. Death is a monster and has no mercy. It's only by the help of the Sovereign Lord that we can face this monster death. I faced it 3 times in my lifetime. 2 hours in the Atlantic Ocean, my ship torpedoed in World War II, looking into the jaws of death. Facing complicated heart surgery in Boston a number of years ago, and surgery last year. Yeah. But there's a tremendous consolation to know that when we pass through the valley, thou art with me. But oh, the tragedy of dying without Christ. There's no consolation. You might not be here tomorrow. Yeah. A monster. The lion. Notice the 5th illustration as a swallow. Nothing can change the schedule of a swallow. They come from the south to Capistrano in California on a given day. With a divine signal from the Creator, they leave the north and they travel south on a given day. That's just like death. It works on schedule. And so the final analysis is this: we must be prepared for death. That preparation can only be done by coming to the Lord Jesus. He's the man who faced death. He didn't have to die. But he died. He volunteered to die. No man taketh my life from me. I have power to lay it down, I have power to take it again. This commandment have I received from my Father. And he died, my friend, that you and I might live. And tonight we ought to take time out to thank him for dying for us. He died on schedule because he was in complete control. As the Lamb of God, he died on the day of the sacrificial lamb. He went to heaven on schedule. He rose on the third and the appointed day. And hallelujah, he's coming back on schedule. Maybe tonight. You're not saved. You will be left behind. No human being could ever contemplate the hazards, the evil, the wickedness that will exist once Jesus comes. Prepare to meet thy God. As a swallow, here today, and gone tomorrow. The sixth illustration is that of a mourning dove. A mourning dove. When death comes in, my friend, there is mourning. At a funeral in Waterbury, Connecticut, there lying in the coffin was a dad, a husband, and 12 children around the coffin. 12 children. And their hearts were aching. Mourning. But he was a man of God. And he appealed to the children to meet their dad in the glory. Mourning as a dove. When death moves him, there is sadness. There is sadness. The application. Notice this solemn, solemn section. The appraisal. Those that go down to the pit, those that go down to the pit cannot hope for thy truth. Friend, tonight you've a choice. It's either the pit or the palace. Either the pit or the palace. Those that go down to the pit, there's no welcome. The rich man in hell, he prayed to Father Abraham. He prayed to the wrong man. And he prayed in the wrong place. Because God doesn't answer prayers from hell. Father Abraham, go and warn my 5 brethren that they come not to this place. Those that go down to the pit, there is no welcome. There is no joy. Lazarus is comforted and I am tormented. No welcome. nor joy. And no hope, says the scripture. The only hope for you, friend, tonight is in the Lord Jesus Christ. The scripture speaks about Jesus Christ, our hope. There's no hope apart from Him. Looking for that blessed hope and the appearing of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ. No welcome. No joy. No hope. Because the Son of Man hath power on earth to forgive sin. The Lord cannot forgive sins for those who die in their sin. Because He said, depart from me, I never knew you. No hope. But thank God tonight there is a hope for you. You've still got breath in your lungs. And only if you would come to the Savior, the only hope for eternity. And said the scriptures here, the grave cannot praise thee, death cannot celebrate thee, they that go down into the pit cannot hope for thy truth. Down there, friend, there's no welcome. There is no joy. There is no hope, and there is no truth, because the man who says, I am the way, the truth, and the life, no man cometh unto the Father but by me. The lie of hell is the devil. He'll be at the bottom of the pit. But there are degrees of punishment as well as degrees of glory. He's at the bottom of the pit. So it's either the pit or the palace. And if you should die tonight in Christ, I tell you, there'll be a welcome. No welcome down there, but there'll be a welcome up there. Well done, good and faithful servant. And the saints in glory who have gone ahead of us, they'll welcome us home. Through the gates of the city in a robe of spotless white. He will guide us where no tears shall ever fall. In the glad sun of ages, I shall mingle with the light. But I long to meet my Savior first of all. What a welcome. When Lazarus winged his way to the palace, he got a special escort. The angelic hosts, myriads of angels, carried him into the royal city. What a welcome. And the Apostle Paul reminds us, those that go down to the pit, there's no joy. In thy presence is fullness of joy. At thy right hand there are pleasures forevermore. How, friend, can you miss this? To go down to a place where there's no joy. When you go to the palace of the King, where there is joy. Unspeakable joy. For all eternity. Those that go down to the pit, no hope. But those that go to the palace, there is the fulfillment of hope. We shall see the King in His beauty. What a joy. I was preaching one night in Ontario, in Waterloo, Ontario, man by the name of Hans Recksteiner, I spoke in heaven that night. Oh, says my brother, what a wonderful thing to know that our souls are saved and we're going home to heaven. He got into his car, went down the road, crossed the railroad track and got killed. He didn't realize it was so near that place of joy. Paul says, having a depart to be with Christ, which is far better. Yes, the choice tonight is this. For you, it is either the pit or the palace. Let me read to you a poem. I can quote it, but I want to be absolutely accurate. Those who go down to the pit. No flower shall bloom on the banks of hell. No beauties of nature we love so well. No comforts of home, music and song. No friendship or joy will be found in that throng. No children to brighten that long, weary night. No love or no peace, nor one ray of light. No blood-washed soul with face beaming bright. No loving smiles in that region of night. No mercy, no pity, pardon or grace. No water. My friend, what a place. The pangs of the loss, no human can tell. Weeping and the wailing forever in hell. That little word. No children to brighten that long, dreary night. Because children are in the glory. Not one child in hell. Matthew 14, the Lord said, they behold my Father's face in glory. And can you think of spending eternity without your grandchildren? Without your children? They bring joy. As the late August Van Ryn says, that's why they're called grandchildren. It's grand when they come, and it's grand when they go. That we love them. Think of eternity without a child to break the long, dreary night. My friend, flee from the wrath to come. Finally, we have looked at the appointment, the application, the appraisal. Now the appeal. Set thine house in order. People today are fooling around. Appreciate this attentive audience tonight. That there are people out there fooling around, thinking they're going to be here forever. That God has a message. Set thine house in order. Not your wife's house. Not your husband's house. Not your children's house. Your hands. You must make the decision. Now is the accepted time, 26 minutes after the hour. Now is the accepted time. Now is God's day of salvation. Tomorrow you might not be here. So the message to Lot was, we saw the other evening, flee for thy life. Time is running out, my friend. As it was in the days of Noah, and as it was in the days of Lot, so shall it be in the days of the coming of the Son of Man. We can almost hear his footfall on the threshold of the door. Flee from the wrath to come. God says, not Neil Dougal, set thine house in order, for thou shalt die. Will you set your house in order tonight? If you're not saved, will I appeal to the young ones? Thank God for those who are saved, the older ones. This might be the last time you'll ever get to listen to the gospel message. There have been people like you. I've seen them. I've worked with them. On the point of salvation, and they went out of time into eternity without Christ. Down into the pit when they could have gone to the palace. Because they would not obey the word of the Lord. He says tonight to you, not me, set thine house in order, for thou shalt die. That's the appeal. Remember the psalmist says, and this verse here also says, undertake for me. You see, friend, that's God's appeal. Undertake for me, because we are dealing with one on a personal basis. The Lord says to you, as an individual, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Undertake for me. Speaking one night in the city of Boston, and I was going to be speaking on this particular subject from a different area, the correspondent of the assembly touched me on the shoulder. His brother Neil, there's a man just come into the hall tonight. He's dying with cancer, and he's only got a few days to live. He came in with carpet slippers. He couldn't get shoes on his feet. I tried everything to change the subject, but I couldn't. And I spoke on death. I shook his hand at the back of the hall. He said to me, he said, sir, you handled your subject well. I said, thank you. But are you depending on it for eternity? He never answered. Out he went. A week later, I was back in Boston. His wife said to me, Mrs. Neil, something's happened to my husband. He's a different man this week. I said, could I see him? Oh, she is very sick, but I'm sure he'll be glad to see you. I went there and I says, Mr. White, I'm hearing something that cheers my soul. What happened? He says, up until Sunday evening, I thought I was as good as the Christians around me, but I realized I was a sinner bound for hell and accepted my Lord Jesus Christ as a personal Savior. The gentleman who came with me, he says, Brother Neil, I never saw that man weep before. He was weeping tears of joy. A week later, the Lord took him home. But that Sunday evening, as we went into the hall and I told what happened, we sang that night on the happy golden shore, meet me there. He had a son in California, one in Texas, a daughter, a missionary in South America. And the boys said they could never come to that funeral if their dad hadn't gotten saved. And guess what they sang around the tomb on the happy golden shore? Meet me there. The appeal. Finally, the answer. The Lord was ready to save me. In verse 20. The Lord was ready to save me. If you and I could only see the heart of love in operation by our great God, the Lord Jesus and the Holy Spirit, it would overwhelm us. He's ready to save you right now. Because he knows that tomorrow might be too late. Thank God he's able to save to the uttermost. As one has said, he's able to save from the guttermost to the uttermost. No case too hard for the Lord Jesus. And so tonight, friend, as I close, set thine house in order. Don't leave this chapel tonight if you're not saved. The Lord be pleased to touch your heart and ask the Christians to leave quietly and reverently and prayerfully for those who are not saved. That maybe tonight, and we hope tonight, we'll be able to sing, "Oh, happy day when Jesus washed my sins away. Set thine house in order." Shall we pray? Gracious Father, we thank thee again for Spanish Wells. We thank thee for the gospel that has been sounded forth over the many years. This island rocked with sinners coming to the Savior and rejoicing in sins forgiven. But Lord, we can't live on past experiences. We want to see that tonight. We pray that somehow, someway, thou shalt reach some soul or souls, that we might rejoice down here, that the dear ones in glory who have left this planet Earth from Spanish Wells might rejoice with the Savior when he says, "Rejoice with me, I found the sheep that was lost." Lord, we cry to thee tonight, under faith, protect thy word, keep the old devil and his cohorts at bay, and save precious souls, we pray, as we ask it in his precious name. Amen. Shall we sing in closing? Number 230. 230. O sinner, the Savior is calling for thee. Long, long has he called thee in vain. He called thee when joy lent its crown to thy days. He called thee in sorrow and fear. O turn, now the Savior in mercy is waiting, and steer for the harbor light. How do you know that your soul may be drifting over the deadline tonight? 230.